all my life, I've desired to live fully. All my life, I've purposed to dream big, to try those things that seem impossible. And when people try to tell me that I can't, my only response is, why not? Just because I was born with no arms or no legs doesn't mean I can't accomplish great things. I love life and everything it has to offer. I want to live it with energy and enthusiasm. It can be described with one simple word, verve. There are many words that people have used to describe me. Enthusiastic, animated, full of life. I'm in vigorous pursuit of God, my passions, my dreams, the place where I live and exist, the convergence of hope and possibility, the security of knowing that my future is not held hostage by my circumstance. The act of living out God's purpose and plan and seeing how it impacts others in such a dramatic and life-changing way, there is no better life for me or for anyone else who will live their life for Jesus Christ. Yes, verve is the right word. It is most descriptive and verbally animated. God's life in me and through me.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Nick Vujicic, and basically, the Lord has opened up a door for me to share the gospel of a message of Jesus Christ and the hope that we can have. And just to be an example that we can live a life as more than conquerors. That no matter what circumstance come our way, that God's grace is sufficient and He has a purpose for your life. But I want you to get fired up. I am so captured by God's purposes for my life. That's my fire. That's my purpose. And I want your heart to be open tonight in Jesus' name, that you would just be open to what He might have for you in your life. Isn't God beautiful? God is perfect. And when you trust in Him, know that the victory is not when your circumstances change. The victory is not when I stand up. The victory is when I know that I can't do this on my own. When you realize that Jesus is the only one who can heal your broken heart. Put your hope and strength in Jesus Christ, and He will give you all the strength you need to get through every impossibility. Like this. If you're praying for a miracle, if God doesn't give you the miracle, you will be the miracle for somebody else. If I am here to tell just one more soul about Jesus, that they may spend eternity with God, no matter what God puts me through here on this earth, I know that I still can be used.
I know that's a mistake, though.
I said, God, if you made me without arms and legs just for one more soul, then it's all worth it.
If God can cause a man without arms and legs to smile, then God can definitely cause us to be thankful and to hang on to the hope that we have.
Of course, there are obstacles in any endeavor. But by the grace of God, He has provided our team with patience, perseverance, and passion to get where we are today. And we believe that this is just the beginning of the world impact of Life Without Limits.
what circumstance you're in, that God is with you, and to fear not, and He's going to give you enough strength to get through any circumstance. That we can be thankful, that we can be rejoicing always, but we know that God has given us salvation, an assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's why He is the name above all names.
What if God didn't give me arms and legs because you needed to see me? I thank God if that's the case. In fact, I'll tell you right now, it is the case. Because you're seeing a miracle right now, right in front of your eyes. That purpose is key. Because your life without purpose is a life without meaning. A life without meaning is a life without hope.
Check, 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 check. Good evening, everybody. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. I want to thank you all so much, and your pastors and your church for having us here. Thank you so much, Brett, and God bless you. In the other level, where's the camera so I can look right into... Is that the camera right there? Am I looking right into the camera? Hi! Hi! Mwah! I love you! I am so excited to be here in Hong Kong. This is our, I think it's the fourth or fifth time here. Lord willing, 2010. This is the year of our third consecutive visit to Greater China. And we're just so excited that God is taking this ministry all around the world, literally. We've gone to approximately 32 countries to speak to 3.5 million people face to face. And I don't know how many of you have already heard me speak. I would like to know, actually, with a show of hands here, who has never heard me speak before? Oh, very good. Okay, and who has? Okay. Hi. If you have heard me speak before, I believe God's going to give you something fresh. I see some pens and papers out, and I really encourage you, each of you, to get pens and papers out tonight, because the things that we're going to be covering, it's going to be great, but then you're going to go home, and people are going to say, "How was church?" And they're like, "It was great." And it was like, "What do you say?" "I don't know." So 80%, there's an 80% greater chance of you remembering what we talk about here if you actually write down a couple verses and go over it later on. But my name is Nick Vujicic. I am president and founder of Life Without Limbs Ministry. We have the headquarters now based in California. We're so excited to tell you that we have approval from the Hong Kong government to set up a local Life Without Limbs Hong Kong chapter. We have Mr. Ignatius Ho, who's at the other level. Ignatius, thank you and your team for having us. And I have my team over here, George Mixer, David Gravilovich, and Brian Tata. And it is wonderful, wonderful to be here tonight. We love all the world, but we have a special heart for all of Asia. And I hope that tonight your heart's going to be touched. And before we get into it, I always open up with a couple funny stories. You know, when people see me for the first time, they don't know exactly what to do. I don't shake hands, obviously. So I hug a lot of people. I'm a hugging machine. Every now and then I get a little scared because if I hug too many people, every now and then I get a little scared that someone's just going to pick me up and take me home. And... So I don't always hug everybody. It's like, can you imagine you're going to take me home? What am I going to do? You know, you put me on your TV set. What am I going to do? You know, watch the World Cup. All right. But you know, I love old people. And, you know, I have a lot of funny stories when people see me for the first time. You know, I have a lot of fun. And every now and then I do something crazy, you know, like not too crazy, but a little bit crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I can stir up a little bit of trouble and still never get handcuffed. You know what I'm saying? Like seriously, I was in a car with my friend at Los Angeles Airport, and you can't exactly just park your car on the curbside of the terminal. You have to be actively dropping off people or loading people into the car. You can't just park your car. So me and my friend, I'm in the front seat. Don't worry, I wasn't driving. And we park on the curbside, and he says, "Nick, just wait a little minute. Yeah, I'm gonna go inside and I'm gonna get our bag because." The airline lost our bag. We're coming back to pick it up. So I said, okay, fine. Just be quick. So he goes inside, and I'm thinking, man, it might be a good idea if I transfer myself into the driver's seat. So I jump from the passenger seat and I go into the driver's seat and I'm checking out the mirrors, hoping there's no police cars coming. Lo and behold, a police car comes. I'm thinking, uh-oh. So this car comes up next to us, and it's a woman policeman, a policewoman, and she's coming up. She rolls down the window. She beeps her horn, hand out the window. Come on, move it! And I'm like... So she gets out of the car, and I don't know if you've seen these type of sunglasses, but you know the aviators, full-on mirrored ones, where you can't see their face, but you see your scared face in their face? So she comes out, she's got the guns and everything, and she's coming up the side of my car, and she comes to the door, and I've got my window that's closed. So I slide down my seat a little bit to then reach the little button to open the window. I open the window all the way. She looks at me, she takes off her sunglasses. She goes, she said, please tell me you're not driving this vehicle. Thank God she was having a good day, yeah? I love freaking people out. One day I want to dress up in a pilot's uniform and greet the passengers as they get on the plane. Hello, good morning, sir. Welcome aboard. I am your pilot today. I hope you enjoy your flight. Now, one day I got my friends to put me in the overhead compartment. You know where you put your bags up? I got my friends to put me up there. We closed the door, waited for someone to come. This guy came along. He had no idea I'm up there. He opens the door. I stick my head out and I go, boo! It's really funny. But you want to hear the funniest story of all? No? I'm in the front seat of a car at traffic lights and this car comes up next to us and this girl's looking at me. So I'm looking at her. She's looking at me, I'm looking at her. She's looking at me, I'm looking at her. So I'm thinking, cool, I'm going to have a trick. I'm going to play a trick on her. Because I know that all she sees is my head from the side. So camera people, you might want to take a zoom in here. Zoom in the camera. So then you got just, yeah, a little bit more. Perfect. So all she sees is my head, all right? So just imagine all you see is my head. So we're at the traffic lights. So I grab the seatbelt in my mouth and I loosen it so then I can freely move, okay? So just imagine all you see is my head. How come you guys haven't got my head up on this screen, huh? You cannot change it? You might want to do this. Anyway, yeah, that's better, right? That's what I thought. Okay, so all you see is my head, okay? And so she's looking at me and I grab the seatbelt in my mouth so I can loosen it and now she's like, because I'm eating my seatbelt. So I loosen the seatbelt, now I can freely move. All she sees is my head. So all I did was this. It's really funny. Her face was like, it's so good. Okay, you can take it on the wider shot now. It's cool. Do you have your Bibles here this evening? Good. If you do, I encourage you to take it out. If you don't, just take notes. I would like to open up with Philippians chapter 4. Does anyone know the verse Philippians 4:13? Let me start you off. I'll give you the three first words, and then you finish it. For I can... All right, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does that mean to you today? When I say Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now, what do you do when you don't know what God's plan or hope or future is for you? What does that mean to you when God says He has a plan, hope, and a future, and then He allows your loved ones to die? What does it mean to you when God says that He loves you, yet He doesn't always change a circumstance? When you even pray and pray and pray for a circumstantial change. Now, I'm talking about prayer today, I'm talking about strength, and I'm talking about purpose, all in one message today. Strength, purpose, and love, and hope. And all of it. when you come to God? What does that mean when you have a personal relationship with God? How do you know that God is God? Because there were times in my life where I couldn't believe what God would say in the Word when He says, I have a plan for you not to harm you. I was thinking, even as a child growing up in church, this does look harmful. This doesn't look as good as everybody else. Why do I have less than everyone else if He loves all the children of the world? What did I do for Him to cause pain on me? I know as a child that Jesus loves me, but that might be offensive to you today. It might be offensive to those of you who've just been abused, or you just heard of a relative who got abused. Or, you know what, don't think that I'm suffering more than you, because I believe that you teenagers, you under 20 group, I think it's worse to see your parents fighting than having no limbs. You would give up your limbs for your parents to love each other. You would give up your limbs to have a loved one back in your life. Do you see something that is so profound here today? That we all have a brokenness, and brokenness is brokenness. And subconsciously, when you see a man without arms and legs smiling, you subconsciously are thinking that the only message you're going to get from this is that you'll never ever complain again in your life, which is a lie. Because Monday morning is tomorrow. And you will complain. Amen? Subconsciously, you think that there is hope in your life and that you can have a better positive attitude when you see someone else in a worse position. That is not real hope. What is real hope? Don't tell me that it's just a positive attitude, because I'll respectfully grab you by the ear and take you to Africa with me to meet my 4-year-old friend who's dying of HIV/AIDS, and then I will dare you to, out of your mouth, tell her to have a positive attitude. Or come with me to Mumbai, India, where 10-year-old girls are bought for their purity at $750 US for 3 years. She's a slave. Tell her to have a positive attitude. In fact, don't even go that far. Just go here to a local hospital, a little kid dying of leukemia. Tell him to have a positive attitude. Why? What does he have to be positive? A positive attitude itself will do nothing. But if you know a truth of a real hope, then, of course, in that perspective, you can hold on to that hope through thick and thin. What is that hope? Because it better work for me, better work for you, better work for your family, better work for everyone. For me, in my life, I felt so alone. When I was going to school, I didn't see anybody else like me. You see my Bible here? My Bible is the truth. The Word of God. The truth will set you, and who the Son sets free is free. So encouragement takes you closer to the Word of God. Discouragement takes you away from the Word of God. You know when you have a friendship, I don't know about you teenagers, right? Listen up, teenagers. You have a friendship with someone, right? Maybe you have a crush on someone, right? Right? And maybe you're texting 136 texts a minute. Right? And then when you all of a sudden hear silence, you're like, what happened? Why aren't you talking to me? Some friends at school, right? You have a friendship and then you're not speaking to them and they're not speaking to you and something's wrong. What happened? What did I say? What happened? What happened? What happened? You know, when you start hearing silence from people you want to communicate with, that silence then allows you to come to conclusions that may not necessarily be true. I know in my friendships, I'm so busy. And when some friends, when I started to get busier and busier, said, how come you're not emailing me anymore? How come you're not doing that? What did I do? I said, you did nothing wrong. I said, I've just been too busy. I've been going and preaching and preaching and preaching. That's just too hard. They think that there's something wrong, but there's nothing wrong. It's the same thing with God. When you start talking to Him and you pray to Him and then you hear nothing, you hear no answers, you see no results, it doesn't mean something's wrong. It doesn't mean that your faith is not big enough. It doesn't mean that He doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that He has forgotten you. But when you hear the silence from God, you start hearing the voices in your head and you come to the wrong conclusions. saying, wide shot, please, for my Bible in the table. Thank you. Nick, you're not good enough. Nick, God doesn't love you. Nick, you'll always be a burden to your parents. Nick, you'll never have a good life. You'll never get married. Even if you got married, you can't even hold your wife's hand. I used to get so depressed at weddings and you see the bride and groom dancing and I thought, I can't even dance with my bride. I go to a park and I see a kid on a bike, he falls off his bike, he cries, and I'm thinking, I can't even hold my kids when they're crying. What are you going to give me? How are you going to help me? How is my parents going to help me? Sometimes all they could do was hold me when I cried. And when people with arms and legs said, hey, Nick, everything's going to be okay. I'm thinking, everything's going to be okay. I used to get so angry sometimes because people think they understand my pain. Does that make sense? I felt so alone. Just give up. Just give up. Just give up. I don't want to fall off. If I fall off, I'll break my arm or something, okay? But sometimes you feel like giving up. I've been there. At 8 years old, I told my mom that I wanted to commit suicide, and at age 10, I actually tried. I went into a bathtub and I turned over 3 times, and the first 2 times I thought I was doing a good thing by relieving my parents of their greatest burden, me. And the third time I rolled over, I realized that there was something worse than having a boy without arms and legs, and that's a boy without arms and legs who decides to give up. So because I love them more than I love myself, I stayed around. I'm so glad I'm here. Look at what I would have missed. You see, I wanted to give up, and you sometimes feel like giving up. Why? Because you don't see hope. But faith, in Hebrews 11:1, is being certain of things hoped for, sure of what you do not see. Kids, how many feet do I have? Two? No, not toes. I got 2 toes. Peace, how you doing? But how many feet do I have, kids? 1. What if I told you I had 2? Would you believe me? What if I told you I had 3? No? 4? Now let's say, what's your name? What? Alyssa and? What? Micah. Alyssa and Micah. Micah, do you think I have 1 or 2 feet? 1. Do you think I have 1 or 2 feet? Do you think I have 1 or 2 feet? Anybody think I have 2? Okay, what's your name? Beatrice. So Beatrice and Alyssa, they believe different. Beatrice says 2 and Alyssa says 1. Is there 1 truth or 2 truths? 1. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. I actually have 2 feet. Wait a second. It's a little shy. Can you see? Hello! Right? Now, was my 2nd foot always there? Yes. So just because you can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not there. You want to give up in life because you don't see hope. But just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. When I say God says in the Word of God, He says that He can take your ashes and turn it into something beautiful in His time. It doesn't make sense. But God is not a liar. He is not a man to lie. God means what He says and He says what He means. Just because you don't know the plans God has for you today doesn't mean that He has none. Took me years to come to that. At age 8, I didn't want anything to do with God because I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for arms and legs. And I just want you to know, beware of anybody who says whatever you pray for, He's going to give it to you. Because the moment God can't say no to me is the time that I'm serving a God who's not sovereign. My sovereign God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ, whose Holy Spirit is on the earth, can say no to Nick Vujicic. If He asks for arms and legs. God is sovereign. God is still God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego themselves in a city. A king said, bow down to our God. They said, no, we will not bow down to our God. They said, if you don't bow down to our God, we'll throw you into the fire. They said, we don't care. Throw us into the fire. Our God will save us. And if he doesn't save us, God is still God. Now that's faith. That's knowing the sovereignty of God. Now, can God do miracles? Absolutely. I have a pair of shoes in my closet today in case he says yes to me. I'm serious. I've seen too many blind people seeing, too many deaf people hearing, and too many lame people walking. I've seen crooked backs come straight. I've seen legs come even. We have some of this on camera. Do you understand that God is a God of miracles? And I want you to know that in your life today, if you're in an abusive situation or unsafe place, you have to tell one of us, please, today, one of the prayer counselors to help you. That's why this church is here. But I'm talking about circumstantial changes physically for you. I'm talking about cancer. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about the job. I'm talking about school. I'm talking about things around you. Are you ready for this? Can God give me arms and legs? Yes. What if God said yes to my prayer at age 8? Just think of it for a second. Do you know that there is something better than God giving me arms and legs? Do you know that there is something better than God healing you of cancer? Do you know that? What's the point of being complete on the outside when you're broken on the inside? First of all, do not look at temporary things to find your happiness and your purpose and your joy. You teenagers, do not be deceived. When you go to school and everybody swears because it's cool to swear, it's not cool to swear. It's actually a sin to swear. You see other people being sexually active out of marriage. It is not cool. It's a sin. When you honor God with what you have, God will honor you with what he has. When you align your life up with the word of God and you strive to be who he wants you to be, not after school, not after you get a job, not after you get married, not after you have millions of dollars in your bank account. Today, if you honor him today, he will honor you. If you do not align yourself up with the word of God and you do, for instance, do what everybody else does because it's cool, why should the counterfeit be better than the authentic? Why should sex be better out of marriage than in marriage? It never is. The devil's wine ain't better than God's wine. Do you understand this? You will always be empty because sex is not love. Love is a lifelong commitment. Money, drugs, alcohol. You see so many people, they can't even forgive themselves of the things they've done wrong, so they get alcohol to try to forget about their sorrows. You think you're going to be happy with money? I don't care if you're a billionaire. What's the point of having $1 billion when your 14-year-old girl can't look at herself in the mirror and see beautiful? Nothing. What do you want? What do you think you would have in your heart if you had everything you wanted? Peace. Everybody say peace. That's what we want. You can have everything of this world. You can even be married. You single people, some of you say, oh, Nick, I'll never be happy until I get married. I say, are you serious? I say, you need to talk to some married people, man. Go to a married person, okay, and say, are you happier? Does life get easier when you get married? They say, girlfriend, if you ain't happy single, you ain't going to be happy married. Amen? Those are the married people. Do you understand? You people, you got to understand your worth, your value. Who are you? Your purpose. You don't know your purpose until you know who you are, and who better to tell you who you are than the one who made you? You will go to school and you will compare yourself to other people. You don't have to be taller, shorter, fatter, thinner. You don't have to look different. You don't have to be more smart. You don't have to have more friends. You don't need to wear a shorter skirt for people to see you and get some cool clothes so you feel cool to have more friends, to feel more important, to feel more value. Clothes ain't going to fill your heart. Friends will let you down. Family will let you down. You'll let your friends down and you'll let family down. But God will never let you down. I know what I'm going to tell my 14-year-old girl when she looks at herself in the mirror and she can't see beautiful. I'll tell her the truth. Here's the truth. What does every 3-year-old girl want to be when they grow up? A princess. Exactly. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a princess. Next time a 3-year-old girl says that to you, ask her just one question. Why? She'll look at you like, what do you mean? Why do I want to be a princess? Of course I want to be a princess. Right? They don't even know what a princess is. Something to do with pink clothes. Something to do with sparkles, and that's about it. Right? I'll tell you why every 3-year-old girl wants to be a princess. Kids, who made us? God. When we come to Him, He becomes our Father. We become adopted sons and daughters of a king. What's a son to a king? A prince. What's a daughter to a king? A princess. You were made to be royalty, and you have a dress on. Just make sure you're in the right castle. 3-year-old boys, we didn't care about castles or prince. We were the warriors. Every 3-year-old boy wants to fight, to conquer, to build, and destroy. Sparta! Right? Is the war between flesh and blood? No. You know, when people tease me at school, you know, when people tease you at school, it's not about people picking on you. You know, when people were teasing me at school, it wasn't about children picking on a guy with no arms and no legs. It was a war between angels and demons for my soul, trying to distract me from the truth, trying to dishearten me, trying to disillusion me, distract, discontentment. Think of any negative word that starts with D-I-S. D-I-S, demon-inspired suggestion. Yes? How do you fight the lies with the truth? Are you ready? Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, here's the lie. Nick, you're not good enough. No. I am fearfully and wonderfully made according to Psalm 139. Nick, God's forgotten you. No, He hasn't. He has more precious thoughts of me than all the grains of sand in the world. He formed me in my mother's womb. He knew my name before the earth began, and my hidden substance was not hidden from Him. Did you get all that? Nick, this is too hard for you. No, God's grace is sufficient in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 to 13. Nick, this is just all luck, chance, or coincidence. No, all things come together for the good for those who love Him according to Romans 8:28. Let's read Philippians 4. You ready? The truth will set you free. Do it again. The truth will set you
free.
And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. For how many things? Hello? How many things? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Okay, ready? Age 8. Let's say God gives me arms and legs. Do you think I would not have automatic peace if God gives me everything I want? Yes. What is He talking about? When God doesn't make sense, His peace that surpasses your understanding will still guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus, God, if He chooses not to change a circumstance, He can still change your heart. He will pull you through whatever He's brought you to, and God never makes a mistake. He never wastes a minute of your time of brokenness and of tears. And whatever the enemy tried to use for bad, God can turn into good. God did not punish me. God did not cause my suffering. There were four people in the Garden of Eden: God, Adam, Eve, and Satan. And before Adam and Eve fell into sin, they were not supposed to die. They were not supposed to have sickness and disease. But when they fell into sin, they had free choice. Then every human being now has free choice and a temporary life. Why do we not live forever on earth? Because we are all born into sin. Evil. If you don't believe me that every single human being is born into some sort of evil, all you need to do is get 2 3-year-olds, put them in one room, give them one toy, shut the door, and you'll hear evil. Pride, selfishness, jealousy. Commandment number 1, I am the Lord your God. Love me. Number 2, there shall not be any other idols before me. Number 3, do not misuse my name in vain. Number 4, keep the Sabbath day holy. Number 5, honor your parents. Number 6, do not murder. And if you actually look up the definition of murder, all you have to do is hate somebody in your heart before God considers it as murder. Number 7, do not commit adultery. And you can commit adultery and perverse mind without even touching any woman. You can perv at some woman and you've committed adultery in your own mind and your wife doesn't know it, but you know it and God knows it. Number 8, stealing. Number 9, lying. Number 10, being jealous. 7, committing adultery. Number 10, being jealous. Do you understand that when I come before God, do you think I'm going to plead innocent or guilty? Guilty. Of what? Of at least one sin, which makes me a sinner. Of least one lie that makes me a liar, not perfect for heaven. That's why Jesus died on the cross. The wages of sin is death. That's why He had to die on the cross. And if I believe He died on the cross for my sins, then I won't die for mine. You get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you go into the water, it's your grave. It symbolizes your grave, your old person, you now died. You come out ageless, a new creation of God, living forever, filled with the Holy Spirit, renewing your mind, changing your heart to be who God wants you to be. You know when you die here on earth, your physical body, people put RIP. What does that mean? Why do you have to die before you rest in peace? Amen? When you get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's when I'm resting in peace. Amen? You fight the lies with the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, I don't need arms and legs. I need the Holy Spirit, and I need the truth. I'm the richest man. I am so rich, dude. Nothing to do with my bank account. I'm rich. I got eternal life. I'm a child of God, forgiven of my sin, and I got peace, love, and joy. Am I perfect? No. Do I still sometimes cry? Yes. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, he who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? I am under construction and a work in progress until my last breath. One day at a time. One day at a time. One day at a time. Do you know I thank God that He said no to my prayer? Imagine if He gave me arms and legs at age 8, then in heaven I had a conversation with God. I'd say, God, what was the biggest mistake I made on earth? And He would say, Nick, you asked me for arms and legs. And I'd say, why? Why was that such a wrong mistake? I would ask Him, was it wrong to ask you for arms and legs? He would say, no, there's nothing wrong with presenting your requests. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What happens when you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? This is what happens. When you know that God is God, and when God doesn't change something, there is a reason for it. He would say, Nick, if you only wanted my will instead of your will, I would have used you far more greater. Before the age of 28, I would have sent you to the nations and spoken to four governments and met three prime ministers. Millions of people, crowds as large as 110,000 people. Do you know we've spoken to about now 180,000 people just in Hong Kong? 20,000, 30,000 people in Greater China? Do you understand this? What would you rather choose? Arms and legs for 90 years? Or to populate heaven by another 450,000 souls? Be careful what you pray for. That's why Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. That's when you have faith. Can we have some music back here, please? I'll play piano, but I'm not warmed up yet. Thanks, dude. Philippians 4, verse 11b to 13. Now, you won't understand what the first half of verse 11 means unless you read the first 10 verses of that chapter. So make sure that you read that. Can you come down a little bit, please? Thanks. Philippians 4, verse 11b. Does anyone know who wrote the Philippians book? Apostle Paul. Okay? He was a good man of God. Okay? He deserved God's blessing. Yes? Yes. Did he get God's blessing? Yes. But listen to what he says. He says, "For I have learnt in whatever state I am to be content." Everybody say content. "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I have learnt both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abased and to suffer need." Yes, Apostle Paul suffered need. Then he says, verse 13, "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He's not talking about starting a business. He's talking about enduring all the seasons that God allows him to go through, to build up in character, to trust in him more. I gave my life to Jesus when I read John 9, where a man was born blind and no one knew why he was born that way, but Jesus said he was born that way so that the works of God can be shown. He healed the blind man. And I realized at 15, I said, "God, if you heal me like the blind man, I trust you. But if you don't heal me like the blind man, I still trust you. Forgive me of my sin. I need a forgiveness of my sins, and I need a peace and rest and joy more than arms and legs." I needed to know who I was in Christ. I needed to know why I'm here. And I needed to know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven. And that is much better than having arms and legs for 90 years. There is one thing better than God to heal me, my body. It's to tell you about Jesus and to bring you to heaven. There is one thing better than God healing your mother of cancer. Even if God heals your mother of cancer, she's going to die anyway. Period. Do you see? There's nothing else to live for than to love God and love your neighbor as yourself, to populate heaven. I'll tell you what's better than for God to heal your mother of cancer. You ready? Number one, that she finds Jesus Christ. and eternal life. Now, if your mother with cancer already has Jesus Christ and eternal life, there is still one thing better than God to heal her of cancer. That's for her with cancer and Jesus and eternal life going to a hospital in a room to meet another woman with cancer, but not Jesus Christ or eternal life. And she introduces this woman who's dying to Jesus Christ and eternal life. Now, that is better than for God to heal your mother of cancer, is to be used by God as an instrument to bring the peace of Jesus Christ to somebody else. You see it. I'm sorry if your mother's got cancer. I really am. I'm sorry if you have cancer. I am sorry if you just this week got abused. I'm terribly sorry. I'm terribly sorry for the broken pieces in your heart and the people who've mistreated you and mistreated your love and your trust. I'm sorry. I can't help you, can I? Call upon the name of the Lord. That's your hope. That little boy with no arms, no legs that you saw on TV. I'm now his older brother. And when he gets teased at school, he's going to remember me. He's already swimming because he saw my video of me swimming. No arms, no legs. Do you know what it did for me when I saw my mum hug his mum and my dad hug his dad? Do you know what that did for me? Do you understand? Everything we have is God's. Our money, our wives, our husband, our children. Teenagers, do your best and God will do the rest. I love you just the way that you are. That's how God loves. God's not a God who tells you, you have to fix yourself up before you come to me. You have to be a better person before you come to me. Anybody have a shower this morning? I did. I have a shower in the morning, shower at night. But did anybody have two showers in the morning? Did anybody wake up this morning and say, you know what, I'm going to have a shower, and you have your shower, and you get out of the shower and say, okay, now that I had a shower, now I'm ready for my shower. Nope. Right? Come as you are to the shower. God, He will cleanse you. Once you're clean, what's the point of coming to God? You'll never be clean. That's the point. Until you come to God. Come as you are. Teenagers, it's time to get real. For the sake of your city, for the sake of your nation, for the sake of your school. Why are you waiting for someone else to start a prayer group in your school? Why don't you start the school? It's time to stand up for what is right. How many more times does God need to get your attention before you say yes? Stop trying to change yourself and come to God. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what you want. Rest. Have you made your life right with God? If you haven't, tomorrow is not promised. If tonight's your last night, who would you call? Who would you hug? Who would you say sorry to? And who would you try to forgive? Don't delay in making your life right with God. Because there will be a today where there will be no tomorrow. That's why it says today is the day of salvation. He loves you so much. So much. From the very front to the back, to the top and the other floor. Can you give me a zoom in, dude, please? Thanks. Keep coming, keep coming. Nice and close. You want to just choose your angle? Is that your angle? That's your choice. Where is it so I can actually see it? Wave to me. Oh, there's a ceiling. Where is it? Oh, there. Am I looking right at it? Okay. Hi. Today, this church service is not for you to feel entertained or never changed, but for you today to be unchained of your fear, of your shame and your guilt, chains of death and sin. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. And I hope that you see that God has a plan for you too. He knows everything about you, but He still chose not to give up on you. He'll never give up on you. Don't give up on Him. Today, in this room, and on the other floor, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If you know that you're not walking with God today, don't walk out of here the same. Make sure that you at least say a prayer today and say, God, I want to know you. I don't know what you have for me, but if you can use Nick Vujicic, then you can use me. And God, if Nick didn't give up on you, then help me to not give up on you. It's not about Nick Vujicic, it's about the power of Jesus Christ that can be done if you receive that power. Today, come to Him. Make Him your friend. He's waiting for you. He hears your prayers. He sees your tears. And don't worry, I'm not going to come out there and lay hands on you or anything. But from the very front to the back and the other floors, I want you to know that there is power when you say, you know what, Nick? I want to make my life right with God. And I'm not ashamed of that. I know I need God today. I'm not talking to you of those of you who have already given your life to God. I'm talking about the people who know that they're not walking with God. You want to make a life-changing, course-correcting decision to say, I'm not living for me anymore. I want to live for God. I want to honor God. I want to trust in God because I can't do this on my own. It's beautiful. Just receive Him. So today, if you've never asked Him into your life, or you need to make a decision to say, God, I want to ask you to change my life forever. If that's you, I want you to stand at your feet right now. Please don't stand for any other reason, but between you and God today, you know that you need to make your life right with God today. You're sick of playing church. You put God in your pocket. You pull Him out when you need Him. No. That is not a friendship. That's like you having my phone number, but you only call me when you need me. That is not a friendship. Does your faith in Jesus Christ cost you even 5 minutes of prayer a day? That is the question. That is the meter. Your heart, your mind. Are you ready to get real with God? Because He is here and He is ready to be real with you. So right now, from the very front to the back, you're never too young, you're never too old, never too late, right now. If you know you need to make your life right with God, I want you to stand on this floor and the other floor right now. Let's give them a round of applause as they stand where they are. Come on. If you know that you need to make your life right with God, come on. Just stand where you are. That's it. That's it. Stand. Come on. I see three people. Just look at me, guys. Don't look at back. Don't worry about who else is standing. Are you standing? When are you going to stand? Come on. Keep on standing. Come on. I see four people standing. Keep standing. Come on. Anybody else? Come on, kids, teenagers. Thank you. I see you up the front. I see you at the very front too. Anybody else? Come on. Just make that commitment today. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. There's another two. That's it. Keep standing. Come on, keep standing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Come on, keep standing. Anybody else? That's it. That's it. Come on, give him a big cheer, guys. There's many more people who are about to stand to give their life to Jesus Christ today. I see another three people just stood up. Four. Anybody else? That's four more. There's about 15 people standing here, guys. Stand up in the overflow room. Come on, you stand. Stand right now. Come on, stand. Stand. Just stand where you are. Come on. Awesome. I think there's about 20 people standing here. Praise God. You know what happens in heaven when one person gives their life to Jesus Christ? A party. Let's pray. As you are. Let's just bow your heads and pray. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for every single soul that even hasn't stood up yet, Lord God. We just thank you that today is the day of salvation. Today they are resting in peace in you to know that whatever problems they have, that you are bigger. We give you praise, Lord God. That your grace is sufficient. That every morning, your mercies are renewed. We thank you, Lord, for peace. We thank you, Lord, for joy, 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 joy in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you do not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we thank you, God, that no principality or weapon formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We cast all those things out in Jesus' name around our life and in our minds, Lord Jesus, and all the lies. We thank you, Lord, that we are free, free indeed today as we talk to you and as we ask you to be our Lord and Savior. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. May we never be the same again. Would you say this prayer with me out loud? Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. And I thank you for loving me, for dying on the cross, for all of my sin. Thank you, God, for not giving up on me. Thank you, God, that you would help me to not give up on you. Heal my heart. Forgive me of all the things I've done wrong. I'm sorry. Change me and heal my heart, heal my mind, that I may know you more and more one day at a time. Bless my family and bless my friends. Help me to love them as you love me. Teach me to pray. Teach me your word. Teach me to thank you. And teach me to trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Remain standing for a second. Watch this. This is really exciting. You ready? You people in the overflow room, you make sure that you're still standing. Stand up. Don't make me come there and drag you up. Right now, I believe that there are many, 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 many more who actually can say, Nick, I actually said that prayer. I meant that prayer. I don't know necessarily what that prayer meant, but I meant it, and I do want to know more about God. If you can say that, Nick, I made that life-changing course-correcting decision to say that prayer, everybody say the beginning. Say the beginning. This is the beginning. Is there anybody else who can say, Nick, I honestly actually said that prayer? Come on, stand to your feet now and join us. Anybody else? Come on, you know you said that prayer. I want to see how many more. Thank you. Thank you. That's two. Three. Four. Come on. Keep them going. Five. Keep them going. Six, seven, eight, nine. Quick. 10, 11, 12, 13, 13, 14, 15, 16. Anybody else who said that prayer, you made that life-changing, course-correcting decision to follow Jesus Christ. You don't know exactly what that means, but you want to know what that is. Come on, keep me coming. Any more? Let's give these guys a huge round of applause. Come on. Awesome. You may be seated. Those people who said that prayer, there is a card coming to you. And check your seats for a decision card. Tomorrow morning, you're going to think of two words. What now? Now that you said the prayer, now you don't know what to do, right? So as a church, I want to help you to know that you don't come to church to get saved and you don't give money to the church to be saved. You come to the church and you give money because you are basing your relationship with God on seeking Him first, learning more about Him and the kingdom of God, to bring your friends along, to populate heaven and devastate hell. That's what we're doing, right? You now are standing in front of the gates of hell and redirecting traffic. And it's going to get hot sometimes, okay? So fill out that card so we can follow up with you. I'm going to give it to Pastor Brett to help you to fill that in. And guys, I just want to thank you so much for having me here. I have no idea how long I went for. I don't care.
Way too long.
And I want to tell you, I love you so much. God bless you. God bless you all. Thank you for your love and your support. May God bless Hong Kong and our efforts for this nation. And I wish I could hug you all. I'm sorry I cannot. I have another dinner to go to. But thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. What a great job, bro.